Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
I'm just praying the Lord will order my thoughts. I've had so many, and He's the only one that's going to make sense out of them. But I believe that, do you believe that we have the power? So the question is, if we have the power, where is it? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? We read in the scriptures about how the Lord, you know, worked in so many other times, and we hear about other places in the world where amazing things are happening, people's lives are being transformed, there's fresh testimonies of God's intervention and driving spirits out of people, healing, all kinds of things that are going on. And here we are upholding the doctrine. But do you think maybe we just need a little bit more of this in actual practice? I believe the Lord is challenging all of us, and certainly has challenged me in many ways, that we can't just settle and say, well, we got the right doctrine, we believe the right stuff, we sing the right songs, that's good enough. And we can rejoice and support people in the other parts of the world. We hear about the Lord raising the dead in India, and praise God, that's wonderful. We read about stuff that happened in the Bible, praise God, isn't that wonderful? But God is a God of the present. And I believe that His church is always meant to be the same. His presence, His active power released in the lives, in and through the lives of His people. And I know that we've had different emphases, emphasized different parts of this truth. Recently, last Sunday, we talked about our need to hear His voice, and that's absolutely true. We've got to have Him present with us, guiding us. And sometimes I think we have spoken about the scriptures in almost a misleading way, as though, well, this is just words on a page. What we need is something, you know, ethereal, something that's just unseen but real. His presence is here. Well, that's true enough. But God has miraculously preserved the words in this book. For thousands of years, He inspired them in the beginning. He gave them to us for a reason. And we can't just, you know, go around saying, well, I got this private little ethereal relationship with the Lord. I hear this unseen voice leading me. It's got to be in harmony with this. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, He talked about serving the Lord. He said, the God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You've got to have both. If we think we're hearing His voice, or we even maybe are, but somehow we're just not focused on this as though, well, this doesn't matter, that's just history. We're missing the boat. And then you got plenty of people in the world today who call themselves Christians, and they're studying this book. They aren't really much different than the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus referred to and said, you search the scriptures. So why were they doing that? They thought they had the key to eternal life there. Well, praise God, God has revealed His truth, but you can't sit there with human intellect and study this and come up with a religion based on this and think you've got it. We're going to have a relationship with the author. You know, I'll go back to the words that Don Johnson said so many times, this book is no good without the author. So that's got to be a central part of what God desires for us, is what's in this book. And I'll have to be honest, I was challenged reading something earlier this week, and I'm not going to get into any of that, into the details of what it was about. But the author was talking about how much of this book that we say that we believe, but not really. Not really me, not really right here, right now. I believe God is looking for a people who will, with childlike faith, honor what is in this book and take it personally and believe, actually believe it. What a concept. You know, I think many times we've got young people growing up the church and they hear about, we've got the power, and they're, where is it? We're still walking around with bondages in our lives, needs that are just, we're just kind of, okay, well, that's where I am, that's just how, that's me, that's, you know, praise God for what he said and what he's promised, I'll go to heaven one day, but God wants a people who experience his presence and his power, his life-changing power in us right now. And I've had so many thoughts that have gone, you know, around this subject, but I'm going to go back for a moment to Jesus, because if there was anybody who had the power, it certainly was him. And yet you see throughout the account of his life a tremendous emphasis on what was written in the book. Now, the obvious example we remember is the temptation in the wilderness. Jesus didn't say, hey, I got more power than you, get away from me. He didn't say, you know, I went out and the Father told me this secret the other day, and so that's what I'm going by. He said, in the face of every temptation, it is written. It is written. Now, what Jesus was certainly saying was, I have a conviction in my heart. It's not just words that I've read in the page that are somehow magic. This is a conviction of my heart that God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. This is how I see myself, and you can say all you want to, but I'm going with one thing, what God has said. That's bottom line. Well, it kind of reminds you of Revelation 12. How did God's people overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, we know that we have a relationship with God because of what Jesus did, not based on us. But what's the next thing? The word of what? Their testimony. This word somehow has got to become a lot more personal than I suspect it is in many of our lives. There are so many things that we say that we believe because we've heard them and we know it says it. But does it actually make a difference in our daily lives? Do we just talk about the power, or do we actually have power? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? And I you know, as soon as I read this the other day, that what that author said, that I began to think of scriptures that I know and I can quote them and I can say, you know, it's like I could fight back with the devil and say, no, this is so. But do I really, really believe it means me here now? Jesus did. God had given him an understanding of it. So it was a combination of knowing what the word said, but there was power in that word that was in the, it was a conviction of his heart. And when he expressed that conviction, the devil didn't have any answer. In the first place, he raised up the shield of faith and said, devil, I know better than what you're saying. What you're saying is wrong, and I believe. I am trusting. I have a shield, you can call it faith, that I'm confident, not just in the words, in the truthfulness of the words, but the person who spoke them. I'm going with him. What he says is right. Everything you say is wrong, and just going to lead me down the wrong path. Okay? So there was a conviction in his heart, and he expressed that, and there was a power that was released, because when he spoke the words, okay, time to pull the sword out. Was it just the words? Was this a debate about ideas and religious ideas? We're not going to get rid of devils with just ideas. There's going to have to be real spiritual power that is somehow released. Now, we just sing about it and we rejoice. We've got the power, but where is it in operation? We need a whole lot more of it. And I believe God wants to bring us to that. So anyway, back to the scriptures, that was what Jesus went with when it came to temptation. And we know that he came back in the power of the Spirit. And there was another, I guess I've got it open to it right here. Right after this, he came back and he went into the synagogue. You remember what happened there? That he opened the scroll to Isaiah, found the place where something was written, and he read it. What did he read? Verse 18 of chapter 4 in Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, he sat there and read words that had been written hundreds of years, 700 or so years earlier, and reads them. This was not a Sunday school lesson. This was not just a lesson about correct doctrine. This was absolutely words that God had spoken by the inspiration of his Spirit hundreds of years later, caused them not only to be written on scrolls, but preserved. I mean, the preservation of Scripture is miraculous, to say the least. You look back in history. I mean, I remember reading one time about that, one of the most famous characters in history was Julius Caesar. But are you aware that there probably aren't more than four or five words, things that are written about him that actually come from his time frame? I mean, there's barely any real evidence where you can look and say, oh yeah, Julius Caesar. But we have thousands and thousands and thousands of manuscripts that God has miraculously preserved. Words that go all the way back to Moses, thousands of years ago. And then Paul and everybody in the New Testament. You think maybe God had a reason? Do you think it was just about information? Or did God mean for something to happen? Because Jesus said, now it's time for these words to be fulfilled. It's like God spoke something. But there was something in it that was meant to happen. You remember how many times we've talked about how, when God does something, what does he do? He speaks. Let there be light, and the power that was in the word itself went out and created light. So was God just recording words so that we could look at Jesus and say, oh, isn't that amazing? Look at all the stuff that was predicted. Was God predicting or was he creating? See, we live in a physical creation that an amazing God created simply by speaking. The stars, the galaxies, the endless, all that we see, and yet we know this is all temporary, but it was his power that went forth and did all that. Well, do you think there's any power that we need in the new creation? See, that's what it's really all about. The same God who created stars wants to interact with us and share his life and his power with us in ways that are life-changing, that are destiny-changing. And I confess, there's so many areas where I can look at it in my own experience and you find ways to sort of sidestep and explain away, and oh yeah, it's true, but...
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.